Welcome back to A Dicey Experience. My name is Jason Sketch. I am your DM, also known as the awesome DM. I've got the crew we're here with me. We've got over here Lazy Man. Who are you playing for this awesome and epic show?
I am playing Jean Lafayette, the dashing rogue.
Who has some very long and exciting ears, I hear, as well.
Yes, a little bit.
And we also got my main man, Meerkat.
Hello, I am playing Lucas Bindwa, the human cleric.
And last but certainly not least, Mr. Stolen.
And I am playing Crew Saipan, your magnificent warlock tortle.
Last time, our crew found themselves in a cave with a large sea serpent and almost lost a crew member to this crazy epic battle. But in the midst of capturing an egg and slaying this large beast, they were able to escape barely with their lives. Your boat makes it out of the cave. By this point, the sun is beginning to set. There's still damage to your boat. It's leaking in some places, but not terribly, because Jean did a pretty good job of maintaining the boat, or at least doing some minor repairs to keep you from sinking. Though it may not hurt for you to find some shipwrights at some point soon to make some repairs on your boat. You look around, the other boat that you saw is not anywhere in sight. It must have sailed off into the horizon, which is good news for you. The captain gets back up to the top of the boat, puts his coat back on, and smiles a big toothy grin. Well done, boys. Let's keep heading to Fetter Call. He resets course and begins to set sail again. Anything you guys would like to do before night falls?
So, Captain, don't you think we need to be heading somewhere a little bit closer to get the ship repaired? We are starting to take on quite a bit of water.
This is the closest island. We should be able to find lumber there. There shouldn't be much issue.
Say so. Do I know of any islands that would be closer?
Yeah, you can roll a history check. There's a map also laying out on kind of in front of him there. You know, okay. nautical things of the...
Just a little bit I picked up at the tavern.
Okay.
City.
Or 10.
10, what'd you say? Kind of check?
Oh, Let's say a navigation check. Make a survival check.
Survival check. That'd be a 13.
13. Yeah, you're kind of looking at the map. It's taking you a minute. You're kind of getting yourself reacquainted with how the maps work, with how the compass works. It does look like this island and a marine-owned island are the two that are the kind of the closest by right now. But you're also noticing that you're not too far off, maybe a week's travels away from your home island as well.
So, yeah, I say we keep going to Fortune. Where was I going?
We're going to
Fetter Call.
Fetter Call.
Fetter
Let's
Call.
Go back home.
I want to go to Tortune. I'm over it.
All right. Night comes in. John goes out for his first two watches. You're steering the boat. Is there anything you do on your watch that's...
I stand there like an amazing pirate rabbit, as cool as can be, even with only seagulls watching, and just let the sea air blow through my ears, enjoy the feeling of being in charge.
The night air blows, it's a clear sky. Nothing exciting really happens to you. Though it is refreshing to not be in that cave and be anywhere near any sea serpents to your knowledge.
Yes.
Your two shifts end, and you go and get Bull.
Bull, you're up. It's time to take watch.
All right. Gets grudgingly out of bed, starts kind of walking up to the top deck.
Clear night sky, where do you go? Would you go to the crow's nest, to the driving portion?
Since I just woke up, I'll probably walk to the front of the ship so that the cold air can wake me up. I don't think I should be climbing the crow's nest just yet.
A good hour or two, you kind of hang out there. That cold air brushes against your face. Your eyes are closed, but you can hear what's kind of going on around you. You begin to notice that the wind blows just a little bit harder. And a little bit harder. It's brushing against your face, and now it feels like something's scratching against your face.
I just kind of start swatting. Like, is there a bug or something flying around my face?
No, it feels more like sand. Like a sandstorm is brushing against your face, pelting you now. When you open your eyes, the sea has turned to sand.
As in we ran ashore?
No, as in, like, you were in the middle of a desert.
I just, like, slapped myself, thinking I fell back asleep.
Slap yourself real hard. And when you open your eyes, your feet are now being covered in sand. And it looks like the sand is starting to blow onto the boat. It's beginning to cover the boat. It's starting to make a good weight in front of the door if you were to even go back to your room. And the boat's starting to begin to fill with sand.
Going to... Do I see anybody else out on deck with me? Captain out? Is Luke out?
No. Last you saw, they were all still asleep.
I'm going to turn tail and run towards the doors and see if I can, when open, I can get down there and warn people what's going on.
Okay, yeah. You get to the door and make a strength check.
You're always so low. 17?
No. And you pull on the handle, and as you're beginning to pull, you look down, and that sand is filling, and now it is about at your waist level. You stand in this space any longer, you will be buried in sand.
I'm going to scream as loud as I can, "Somebody, please wake up!" And then I'm going to run over to the crow's nest and try and climb it as fast as I can to get out of the sand.
Okay. This is my favorite check for you. Make an acrobatics check.
17 minus 2 is a 15.
Impressive. In the middle of a sandstorm, you're able to climb that crow's nest.
It's that adrenaline.
See, exactly. The adrenaline's just kicking in and you're climbing, you're going. When you start getting to the top, it is now covered, that door. It's completely covered to the point that you feel like if you jumped from that crow's nest and landed in the sand, you would be able to walk right up to the top of the boat where the steering wheel is, which I'm sure there's a better name than a steering wheel for a boat. Your boat is buried in the sand at this point.
I'm just going to have a mild panic attack at this point.
Okay. Roll me a perception check.
11.
11, okay. You see a small figure off in the distance, and it looks like it's flying towards you. It's yellowish in color, and it's slowly getting bigger and bigger as it's flying directly to you.
Does it look like it's flying? Like, does it have wings, or is it more like floating?
It's more like a floating, but it's not like a slow float. Like, it's like a... Imagine almost like a Goku kind of flying through the air, just that kind of that jet, quick flight.
Okay. Beelining it towards us?
Beelining it towards the crow's nest, yes.
I'm going to reach down and grab my ring.
Okay.
And just start saying a prayer. Just anything to save me at this point.
You begin to do that, and you hear laughter coming from that figure. And as you look up, it's getting closer and closer. Its top half of its body is large and muscular. It's wearing a white vest with a red, almost like a solo cup type hat. You know those red hats that look like a solo cup, and then they got the little fuzzy tail coming off of them? And then he's got a white belt, and then there's no legs. It looks like almost like a ghost. Roll me one more perception check.
9.
9. He feels, this creature feels vaguely familiar. You can't quite place your finger on who or what it is.
Can I help you? Are you causing this? And I'm just going to like start motioning all around to the sand.
And you hear a voice and it echoes from your ring, but it also echoes from the voice of the man out there.
Why, yes, young friend, I am coming to speak with you.
me.
Roll me a perception check. Or history check. Weird history check.
Not good. 3.
Yeah! This is creepy as all get out. this, your patrons never let you experience anything like this before.
Do I know you?
Yes, the voice echoes. Zai Guram Van Doon. The one who gave you your powers! I'm excited to come see you, my friend! And he comes and he sits on the edge of the crow's nest. And before you is your patron. Legs now spawn. He's got a big grin on his face. He adjusts his fez hat, holds a book in his hands, smiling real big.
Just stare at him for a second and take a step back. I don't remember you, but it has been a while.
Aha. But it is I am your patron. And he bows. It's been some time. How you been taking care of my ring?
I just kind of hold the ring and pin it in my hand. It's taken care of.
Good, good. I've been feeling you use my power. Oh, it's exciting to see you finally use it. What took you so long?
It does feel nice flowing through my hands, you have to say. You know, back home, they did frown upon any kind of music or magic like this.
Yes, it sounds like your town did not like music or magic. It's unfortunate.
Just, how could they not live? How could they not want to experience things? Just something I just couldn't wrap my head around. They're too stuck in their ways.
They are. But that's one of the reasons, many reasons, why I chose to give my power to you. I wanted to see what you would do with it. How you would use it. Where do you plan to go next?
We are actually looking for a map right now.
Map? What, are you setting sail on a ship? He looks around.
Well, we were until this happened.
Oh, I can see. I can take care of that. That won't be a problem. I've brought you another gift.
What is that?
My hands hold you a tome. Just a few more spells that you've just not used yet that I'm excited for you to try.
I gingerly take the tome from him, start flipping pages.
Ha! Be careful, that is an old tome.
Fascinated by the arcane writings in the book, I just hold it to my chest really close, stare at my patron, and say, thank you.
You are quite welcome. He bends down, he spits in the sand, and he takes a clump of that and he rubs it over your eyes. And when he wipes it away, he's gone. The sand is all gone. You're back in the middle of the ocean. The storm coming now, just pouring over your head.
I'm going to read through the tome just a little bit longer. See that there is a spell in there called Gust, which allows me to control little bits of wind. So I reach out my hand, flip my wrist, and a gust of wind hits our sails, helping us to move just a little bit faster.
Yeah, you open it up, you find the arcane symbols, you're able to read them clearly now. And with a flick of your wrist, a gust comes in and begins to push the sails forward.
A rare smile cracks across mouth as this happens. Crew sits down in the crow's nest and just continues reading. He doesn't care about what's going on around him, where they're headed, or anything of the sort. He just continues to turn page by page until his shift has ended.
John, you're about 2 hours into your shift. Sorry, sleep. 2 hours into your night.
Yeah,
sleep. Yes. Jean, you are 2 hours into your sleep. A loud thunder booms and wakes you. But you hear a soft voice calling. Jean. 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 Outside your room.
Is it a familiar voice?
No.
So my first reaction on hearing the thunder I like try and feel in my bunk to see if like the boat is rocking as if a storm has come up or something like that.
The boat is definitely rocking. There's a storm.
Okay. So, I'll steady myself and get up and try and stumble towards the door, kind of in a sleepy state. Try and figure out who's calling for me.
Okay. It continues, John.
It's quite strange. So I make sure that I, before I go any further, that I've got my pistol on me. I've got it loaded, cocked, ready to go. And
all right.
I'm kind of stumbling down the hallway after the voices.
You stumble down the hallway and it's leading you towards Lucas's room.
John.
I reach for the door handle and swing it open as I assume as the boat is rocking back and forth. I kind of stumble in and steady myself and survey the room.
Lucas, roll me a constitution check.
That'd be a natural one. Or two.
You're sleeping soundly like a baby. John's stumbling around in your room and the boat's rocking, but you're sleeping through this like no problem at all.
That's why hammocks were made, so that you wouldn't rock so much when the ship was going back and forth. You'd kind of stay steady.
That's totally fair.
I don't know that that's true, but it seems right.
Says our pirate historian.
It makes sense.
You see, where, Lucas, where would you keep your pack in your room?
I would have a table on the opposite side to my bed and just have it propped up on a chair.
There's something glowing inside that pack. And I just keep hearing the voices coming from that direction. John.
Hmm. I slap myself just to make sure I'm awake.
Roll an attack roll.
19.
Yeah, I think that hits your AC.
Yeah.
Roll a d4.
That is a 3.
3? Yeah, it stinks.
Okay.
Stinks quite a bit.
I kind of blink. John looks over at Lucas. He definitely doesn't like the idea of rummaging through somebody else's pack, but he's also very intrigued by a glowing something. So I, with my quietest rabbit feet that I can, I scurry over to the pack and see if I can't just slip my hand in and grab what's glowing real quick.
I'm going to say with that constitution of 1, he's out cold.
Yeah.
So there's no issue with you opening his pack, and you unlatch the top of the pack and you lift it open, and there's a large, loud snore coming from Lucas's bunk. You turn around to see it real quick, and he's just drooling out of the side of his mouth, just almost pouring. You can't tell if it's the rain coming through the window, if it's just drool from his face. When you look back over, the light from the pack is growing brighter. And in front of you is a dark greenish egg that's warm to the touch, but the voice is calm when you touch it. They stop saying your name, they just fade, and the light slowly dims. But as you hold that egg close to your chest, you hear a thump, 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 thump.
Okay, I'm going to quietly back out of the room with the egg. Try and latch the door closed again quietly.
You swung that door open hard, so there's a small hole in the wall where you
need
to kind of pull it back out of the wall, but you're able to get it closed.
Okay, so I'll... Again, I don't recognize this voice, right?
Nope.
Okay. So, in my mind first, I'll kind of call out to the egg and just say hello.
A response, just the heartbeat sound again.
Okay. And I'm walking back to my room with it. And so as I'm walking back, I say out loud, hello?
No response.
This would be a great time to know magic. John gets about halfway back to his room, and then his conscious starts to kick in a little bit. I don't recognize this egg. I never saw Lucas take it or anything like that, or this is the first time I've seen it, right?
Correct, yeah. You recall from our last recording.
Yeah.
Lucas, he grabbed the egg. Crew tried to see if he could see it. He said no. I asked if you'd like to make that roll, and you said, I'm good.
Okay. So I'll, again, I get about halfway back to my room. It's not calling out to me. It's not doing anything. And it's not mine. So I'm going to go back into Lucas's room and see if I can stealthily just drop it back off.
Okay. So you open the door. Lucas, make another constitution check for me.
Come on. 14.
14. Yeah. You open that door. It slams back open. And Lucas sits up straight in his bunk and is staring at you.
What's wrong? Is it my shift?
Not quite. And I'll quickly shove the egg behind my back. And
I see him do that.
Roll me a sleight of hand check there.
Okay.
And I'd say roll me a perception check with disadvantage because you're opening your eyes. You're just waking up.
You're not gonna need the disadvantage. It's not gonna make a difference.
What? Natural one.
Oh, maybe.
For a three.
I'm trying to find sleight of hand.
Oh no.
Okay, I got a five.
Sorry, my sleight of hand is zero, so I got a one.
It'd be a perception, not sleight of hand.
Sleight of hand. Yeah. Sorry, then three.
And I got a five. I rolled a two.
All right.
You fumble really bad, but you are able to hide that behind your back.
So. I look at Lucas and I say, there's a storm. I wanted to make sure you had secured all those barrels after we were rummaging around with them the other day. I don't want to lose any of our goods.
I didn't think about it. I guess I'll go down and check and I start.
No, don't worry. I'm the quartermaster. Get your rest. I'll take care of it.
I don't know why you woke me up then, but okay.
You're right. I didn't even wasn't even thinking, and I'll close the door. And I'll go like actually down into the hold and find one of those barrels of sugar that we have, and put the egg in the sugar, hoping that's probably the least likely thing to be disturbed.
Yeah, you put it down in there, you're able to shove it in there, you close the lid back on, you go back towards the steps, and it starts to go, John, 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 John.
That's what I was afraid of. John. Okay, I'll take the egg out.
It's kind of sticky now.
Yeah.
Got sugar all
over
it.
Yeah, it's poor planning. Yeah, I guess I'll get a handkerchief or something like that, and wrap the egg up, and just put it in I'm assuming it's like a chicken egg size. Is that incorrect?
No. It's like a Pokemon egg size.
Okay, I've never seen a Pokemon egg in real life, so how big is a Pokemon egg?
Take like an ostrich egg.
Oh, okay.
Then double it.
Yikes. Wow. Okay, this thing is massive. How the heck did I hide that behind my back?
It's impressive.
Okay.
Lucas was still like getting
very asleep.
The gunk out of his eyes.
Was wider than you were.
Okay. Well, shoot. In that case, I'll just take it to my room and put it underneath my hammock and try and go back to sleep if it'll let me.
It does. Okay. Yeah. You starting to fade to sleep and you're about to fall when you hear it say, "Father."
Ooh.
And that's it. And then it gets quiet. The light dims. Everything else fades out.
Okay.
Hey, everyone. This is Meerkat, part of A Dicey Experience.
I am playing the part of Lucas Findweir, the chef of our campaign, The Fates. We just wanted to take a second and thank you for your support and listening to our podcast. If you enjoy our show, leave us a like, review, and follow. If you're on YouTube, hit that subscribe button. We really appreciate the feedback and support and are excited for what's to come. If you're looking for more of our content, our own Dungeon Master Jason streams over on Twitch under Jason Sketch. Thanks everyone again for your support. Let's get back to the episode and see what else is in store for our beginner adventurers.
The sun never really comes up the next day. The storm continues on through the night. Or through the day, excuse me. The morning. You guys are out there kind of battling the storm, but you're still making your way towards the island, Fettercall. Is there anything you guys want to do during that day? This will be your last day before you arrive at the island.
Is it actively raining, or is it just like stormy sea?
It's actively raining, like pouring down rain. Like, you know how we have those Texas thunderstorms that come in and they just dump the rain as it comes through?
Yeah.
And then it eventually leaves? It just doesn't eventually leave. It just continues to pour down rain. You see lightning and thunder for a good portion of the day. It's about 4 p.m. in the afternoon.
Crew is going to be spending all of his time inside, reading and protecting his new tome, making sure it doesn't get destroyed or wet.
Sounds perfect. All right. So Crew's inside the... Where are you inside? Are you inside the kitchen? Are you inside the storage area? Are you inside the bedroom? Are you inside your shell?
The crew is inside his bedroom.
John, you just kind of let him chill in his room all day?
Every now and again, I'll go down and just give him the stink eye. But, yeah, I'll let him do whatever he wants. He almost killed me the other day, so I don't want to mess with him too much.
Just see the soaking wet rabbit coming by and just giving a total glare. You can only imagine the thoughts being like, I have fur and you don't. Why are you inside?
You are an amphibian. You're built for this.
After about the fifth time, I chunk an orange as he passes.
I will at some point, maybe during a meal or something, pull Lucas aside and say, hey, I'd like to tell you why I was in your room last night.
Sure.
I woke up in the middle of the night as the storm was starting, and I was hearing voices call out to me my name. And they led me to your room, where I came across some strange large egg. And it was glowing inside of your pack. And when I seized it, the voices stopped, and I could hear some sort of heartbeat. And my curiosity got the better of me, and I took it and attempted to communicate with it. And I apologize for breaking that trust between us there, but I still have the egg. It's in my room. I attempted to leave it, and every time I did, it continued to call out to me. So I simply kept it with me so I could get some decent rest, but I don't want there to be any mistrust between us.
I don't like that you came into my room to steal something, but since it is some strange thing that is talking to you, I think we best focus on that for now. Are you hearing the voices now?
I'm assuming the voices didn't continue.
I'm shaking my head no, but my camera's not on.
Yeah,
that's
correct. No. During the night, they stopped. So I'm not sure what's going on. You're free to take it back at any point. I needed a night's rest, and the only way it would get out of my head was if it was near me.
I can take a look at it, maybe see if I can check it myself. Seems like we
I came upon it. I mean, I didn't tell anybody. We were still getting back on the boat, and it was nighttime, and I forgot about it.
You're fine. To spoils are to each his own. I mean, it's something you found and wanted. I don't begrudge you of that.
I'll look like I'm thinking, and I say to John, I'll finish this meal and I'll serve, and then I'll take some time to look it over after our meal.
Sounds good. Sounds good.
So I'm gonna finish cooking and serving, and then I'm just gonna go straight down to Jean's room and grab the egg myself. But I guess before I touch it, is it doing anything, or?
It's not glowing. It's not making any noise to you. It's just that green, kind of scaly egg that you found. Back by the.
Okay.
Other egg. I mean, you know, the large egg that's tied to the mast is also not making any noise. It's just there.
I am going to sit down in John's room in front of the egg, and I'm going to ritual cast detect magic, and it's takes me 10 minutes to do, but I kind of open my senses out into the room and see if I guess anything magical picks up within 30 feet of me.
Is Jean's room visible from my room? Like, is he across the hall from me, or what?
I'm trying to imagine. No, you are. When you come in, it's John's room, Lucas, and then you're on the same wall as John. So you guys share a wall with each other. And then there's a couple other rooms that go down the hall that are kind of empty. And at the end of the hall, there's stairs that go down to where they found you, and there's a stairway that goes up to the captain's quarter.
Do I hear Lucas in Jean's room?
How loud are you being, Lucas?
I'm not trying to hide my presence at all. So you'd probably have heard me open the door and go in and fumble around.
Hearing the door open, I'm just going to assume that Jean returning to his room. But then as soon as I hear Lucas's voice coming from there, that really piques my interest. I get up and I kind of walk towards their door, trying to eavesdrop on what's going on.
Okay. Is there... I'm going to be careful with this. Are you being noisy about it? Or are you trying to be stealthily watching him?
Yeah, stealthily.
Alright, and John, are you there watching him do this, or are you just kind of doing your own thing?
No, I'm assuming I'm up on the top deck helping the Nadar steer, take care of the sails, all that kind of stuff.
He's kind of asking you if the word is really helm, not steer.
Yes. No. Helm is appropriate.
Oh, alright. Okay, yeah, roll me a stealth check, crew.
A 12?
12. Okay, Lucas, do you want to roll a perception check?
Sure. 4.
Nope, you are zoned into this egg. There's an old magic coming off of it, but it's not like a magic item type magic. So, you know, you've done detect magic before. I'm like, okay, cool. That's obviously a magical coin. That's obviously a magical sword. This magic is old coming off of this egg.
The egg itself isn't magical. There's like an aura around it.
Yes, there's, you remember John talking about a heartbeat, and you watch the egg itself kind of flashes like a heartbeat does.
Do I see the egg flash colors too, or is it just one solid color still for me?
It's still just a solid color for you. It's because he's using detect magic that he's kind of got this. You can see the aura of it doing that, but detect magic only lasts for so long before it fades, and he wouldn't see that anymore.
So detect magic lasts for 10 minutes. I guess I'll sit and watch it for maybe half that time, and then just kind of look around and see if it's affecting the room in any way or myself.
Okay, yeah, it's not. It's not doing any effect to the room or to you.
I guess at that point I would have looked behind me, you standing in the doorway with it open.
After standing there for about 5 minutes watching Lucas just stare at this egg, I'm going to slowly walk in and stand behind him. What is that? What do you have there?
some egg that John says that talks to him. Not talking to me.
It talks to him?
He said he hears voices coming from the egg.
That, we have a doctor on board. That sounds a little clinical.
I guess I'm the closest person to a doctor on board. I haven't heard of anything like this. Maybe we should tell the captain.
We probably should tell the captain. I don't want a crazy person running the ship.
Do I?
And then under my breath, I'm going to say, and not that the captain's much better.
I guess I'm going to just grab hold of the egg and start walking out of the room. Do I see anything magical on Bol?
Yeah. There's a small glow from his hand. Are you carrying the tome with you?
No, I would have left my tome in my room, but I am wearing my necklace.
Okay, so yeah, I see a small, not from his hand, but from his, around his chest, like around his necklace, there's a small glow of magic.
Okay. I'm going to go up and talk to the captain.
Okay. It begins to fade a little bit as you start getting up there, but you can definitely see three different objects on the captain that are glowing as well.
Can I...
John, are you up there with the captain, or where are you at?
Yeah, like I said, I assume I'm helping out.
Yeah, they're both up there kind of looking at the map and looking at the helm and making sure things are heading in the right direction.
I'm following behind.
Okay. So you got this egg in your hand, you're going up the stairs.
So I go up to the deck and I look for the captain. Is he on deck?
Nope, he's up by the helm.
Okay.
Both he and John are up by the helm.
So I'm going to make my way over and go up to the helm and, Captain.
Lucas, is it second lunch already?
I don't think we want to eat this just yet. I am detecting some kind of old magic aura coming from this egg, and Jean has said that he has heard voices coming from it.
You're hearing voices?
I'm hearing the egg emit voices.
Is it talking to you now?
Is it talking to me now?
No.
No.
Well, it's strange that a drake egg would talk to you.
A drake egg?
Yes, a drake egg.
You know what this is?
Yes, drakes, when they fall in love, a mother drake and a father drake will get together, and do you not know how sex works?
Disgusting.
Well, I do know, but is this dangerous?
No.
And do drake eggs typically speak to people?
And roll a history check on that. He knows this one. I've heard stories of rangers that have drakes they can communicate with, but nothing substantial.
John, what exactly has it been saying to you?
It's just been saying my name over and over and over again.
Captain, what should we do with this?
I think it seems harmless enough. Is it moving like it's going to hatch?
It is... has a heartbeat.
Ah, so... creature is still alive. It's just saying your name?
Yes, nothing more.
It's not asking you to murder us or anything. You're not, like, becoming one of those what they call warlocks, are you?
No.
At that, I'm just going to kind of step back and grab my ring, but not say anything.
Do I believe him?
Believe who?
Jean.
Do you? That's a great question. Do you believe him or not?
Can I tell if he's lying?
Ah, yeah, you can make an insight check.
16.
16?
No, he's telling the truth. And if your detect magic is still working, there's like a void of non-magic around him. It's just plain Jane.
As you hold the egg, it does seem warmer on the end that's closer to John. Almost like the body in it is kind of moving closer to where John is standing.
I think whatever's in here likes you, John.
I'm under that impression as well.
I'm
not quite sure how I feel about that yet.
Captain, if this thing hatches, will we be in trouble?
I don't think so.
Not if it sees me as the mother.
That's, exactly. Jean was able to tame Bol over there. I think it shouldn't be an issue for him to tame a creature like this.
I wouldn't say he tamed me.
I also haven't known Bol since birth, so I think this is, I think we've got a good start here.
Yes, this shouldn't be an issue. You promise to water and feed it?
Yes, of course. Of course, I'll take care of the creature.
And there's no problem for me. Is there a problem for you, anyone else?
As long as it doesn't try to eat me.
I hand the egg to Jean.
Jean holds it very precariously, as if he doesn't really know what to do with a drake egg.
I hear you're supposed to sit on it.
I'm not sitting on the egg.
All right. I don't imagine it'll eat you, Bol. I wouldn't worry too much about it. It'll be a small tyke, at least for a while.
Captain, do you know what the big egg is as well?
Yes. That was a sea serpent egg. What is?
Are we in danger of that?
Have we noticed any movement from that egg? Is it, like, close to hatching or anything?
No, it's still doing good. It's the, you, when you're looking, you're all looking at it now, and based on your survival check from the last episode, the ropes are definitely a lot looser than when you first made the tie, but other than that, no, it's not been moving. It's kind of been just staying at the mast.
Crew's gonna walk up to the big egg and just put his ear against it to see if he hears anything inside.
Daddy.
He does not trust this.
Daddy.
Nope, no sound. Nothing. It's just an egg.
Okay, everybody, I think we're safe. I don't hear anything. Good. Walk away very confidently.
I think we should throw it overboard.
No. We can sell that thing for so much money.
I thought that's why we were keeping it, so we can make some gold off of it.
I thought it was breakfast.
We just fought one, and then they killed me. I don't want another one.
You told me last time, yesterday, that we had 2 weeks before anything back to it.
Oh, yes. I do remember that.
Yes, it was only yesterday.
He has slept since then.
Apparently not, with Jean waking everyone up in the middle of the night.
If there is any signs of this thing cracking open, we need to drop it, but let's hold on to it at least for as long as we can.
This one will be much smaller than the last one we fought. I don't think there's anything to worry about. We took care of it okay.
You can see that Lucas is visibly shaken by the fact that this thing holds a sea serpent in it.
Do you know how much longer it'll be until we get to Fetter Call?
Yes, we'll be getting there probably around lunch tomorrow.
So, we could try and sell the egg tomorrow. I doubt it's going to hatch within a day.
Perhaps it's an island of kobold and goblins, so...
That's quite a lot of food for a kobold.
That is a lot of food for a kobold.
A good feast for a kobold clan.
Might have a hatching of a plan after all.
Able to pay for any repairs to our ship.
You just see Crew's eyes roll in his head. That very dramatic, cartoony type of roll.
I think there's something wrong with Bol's eyes. You better check on that too, Lucas.
I see him just rolling his eyes, and I was rolling mine at the same time. So, I think he's fine, sir.
All right. Fair enough. Well, we'll be arriving at the island tomorrow. I imagine a good hearty dinner tonight and a meaty breakfast tomorrow, and we'll be ready for a fantastic day.
I will get started.
Yeah, that's a good spot to end for tonight, or for this episode. What do you guys think?
I think we need to fade to black with John going to sleep and hovering slightly over the egg just for a moment.
Like alien?
No, like he's laying on the egg.
Oh.
He's perched on top of it.
Thank y'all for hanging out with us. My name is Jason Sketch, and we'll be back soon with the next episode. Peace.